Welcome everyone to the Council on Public Affairs. Our topic today is poverty in a land of plenty. How does poverty impact our community? What steps can be taken to alleviate the problem? And what should, in the heights of a federal political campaign, our political leaders be doing? Our speaker today is Sasha Donahue, and Sasha Donahue is the co-chair of the Southwestern Alberta Coalition on Poverty, which is an organization, a group of people, of individuals, organizations, and agencies who are working together to reduce poverty and its effects on children, families, and the community. Sasha Donahue, as I say, is the co-chair, along with Dorothy McKenna. And the coalition released a report in 2005. It's a regional report on child poverty in Southwest Alberta. This report was undertaken in an effort to understand the prevalence and severity of child poverty and its related impacts in Southern Alberta. I think we're very fortunate indeed to have such a strong organization made up of such committed and passionate people who care to address the issue of poverty, as you'll see in many of the issues that are itemized as top priorities in this campaign. Poverty is not one that we've heard a lot about. So I would ask you to welcome, please, Sasha Donahue this afternoon, who is going to raise our awareness and certainly answer some of our important questions. Sasha?
Well, thanks, Diane. It's a pleasure to be here. I have been here a few times in the last 5 years while I've been working on poverty in Southern Alberta. What we're trying to do today is shed some light on the prevalence in Southern Alberta. We call it child poverty, but of course we all realize that children live in families, so it really is family poverty. You can move to the next slide. Dorothy's going to be my Vanna White for the lunch hour here. So, just to go over something, in light of the political election that's looming, in 1989, the House of Commons unanimously passed an all-party resolution that this House seek to achieve the goal of eliminating poverty among Canadian children by the year 2000. 5 years after that optimistic deadline, we still have child poverty that tends to be the highest in the developed countries. Approximately 1 in 6 of our children are affected by poverty. Now, I do have a map up there, and I did give you handouts because I realized that I wasn't going to go high-tech, but I thought this just might be easier to go with slides. This shows a distribution, and it is in your package, of poverty in Alberta. The darker colors indicate where there is more prevalence in the Alberta scene. So you can see that in our area, we do, in fact, have higher prevalence. Now, in Southwest Alberta, you can go to the next one. I'll just do the little thing here. I'm just showing you the map of our region, because when we talk about Southwestern Alberta, because I work for the Chinook Health Region, really we're talking about the boundaries within the Chinook Health Region. And the data, you can start moving on to that. The data I'm going to be sharing with you is taken from StatsCan information, and what we've done is analyze it from the perspective of looking at poverty. So this bar graph shows the incidence of low-income for economic families in the region, so you can look across and in your packages see where those high points are. Again, this is economic families. There are traditionally two measures, economic families and by household. And here what we've done is we've taken the data, and instead of giving you a bar graph, we've taken it and mapped it into a geographical distribution. So we're looking at the census for low-income economic families in the region. I think in that one, which one is the highest there, Dorothy? I think it is Raymond. I can't see it this angle. Yeah. So I know people will be surprised, but we base this on proportion and things like that. Okay, next slide. Here we're looking at low-income cutoff households. So this may be more than one family. In some cultural groups within the region, we have households that are comprised of one or more families. And I believe in this picture image, we have McGrath showing up as high or more prevalent. Next one. I'm just going to have to look through. Okay. We also look at factors that contribute to poverty. So on this one, we're looking at unemployment distribution throughout the region, and you can see the variances across from the, I guess it's the Raymond and McGrath area that we see the highest rate. Just keep going, Dorothy, and with them, because they're, we don't want to get too in-depth. Oops. Now, when we look at income, we're also looking at government transfer payments. So what that is to us is an indicator of how many families are supported by maybe ACE, Supports for Independence, or Alberta Works, Welfare, what have you. And so what we're doing here is trying to illustrate which areas in the region have the highest prevalence of families that are supported by government transfer payments. Next one. We're also looking at education levels. We know that families affected by poverty tend to have a lower education level. So what we've done is mapped out the incidence of families or percentage of the population with less than grade 9 education levels in the region. And I believe my Fort McLeod area is the winner of that category. Here we're looking at lone parent families, how many families or the proportion of or incidence of families in the region with lone parent. We know that families who have one parent, particularly if it is a female-led household, are more likely to be affected by poverty. Next one, Dorothy. Also looking at children less than 6 years of age, we know that young families who have children less than 6 years of age are more likely to be affected by poverty. And later, when I talk about politics for those in the room, the MP candidates, I'll talk a little bit about the child care benefit package and the benefits of that. Well, that one's upside down too. And also we're looking at Aboriginal population. We know that people who are of First Nations background or tend to be of visible minorities are more likely to be affected by poverty. And so we're showing the distribution here. The city is indicated there is sort of a line. So on your map there you can see that there is a line that will indicate the city of Lethbridge. And is this the last data map? Okay. Census mobility, that's an interesting factor that we look at. And I know since we've been working with families on community development projects that low-income families often tend to move a lot. And indeed, we found in Fort McLeod with our project that very often we'll be working with a family and doing well, and for whatever reason, they'll disappear off the radar maps and schools. Care workers don't know where they are. So we wanted to illustrate that as well. Here we're looking at the teen birth rate. We know that children who are affected by poverty are more likely to be teen parents, and teen parents being young often are those who are affected by poverty. So we're trying to map out the incidence there. And Cardston is the highest area in our region with reference to teen birth rate. And I have been out to Cardston and am working with that community. Here we're looking at low birth weight. That's another indicator. Actually, if you talk about the health effects of poverty, they actually begin in utero, because we know that low-income teen moms or what have you, put the whole package together, you end up with a low birth weight baby, which is considered one of the key identifiers of children at risk. So I'm going to talk a little bit about progress. You've seen some of the prevalence, the statistics. In the report, I actually do have, I don't have the report card, but we do talk about specific issues like childcare, transportation, and that sort of thing in the report that we released. But I just wanted to show you the distribution. When we talk about progress, I wanted to tell you over the past 5 years what we've been doing about this issue. We in the coalition do not deliver first-line services. We believe in working to build capacity, skills, partnerships within the region so that communities can address the issue themselves. One of the things we're currently working on, and Barb Cavers is our coordinator for that project, is a social inclusion project. And really, what we have found over the past 5 years is that the health effects of poverty are, yes, in fact, related to deprivation of things like adequate housing, food security, et cetera, et cetera. But there's another element that in the research is popping up and seems to be, in fact, even more critical, which is the ability to participate in society, what we refer to as social inclusion. And so what we're doing right now is having Barb work with communities across the region, thank you, to look at existing resources, assets, and issues related to social inclusion. And I think you can get that if you think about, and we were having a discussion the other day with an experienced person who works with us, experienced being someone who's affected by poverty, and talking about, you know, what her perception was. And interestingly enough, I think a lot of the barriers, they exist on both sides, tend to be perceptions. And so what we're hoping to do is work with Barb on that environmental scan, and also we will be holding a conference on social inclusion in May sometime, I believe. The other thing that we've been working with, and I've been doing this for the CHR more so, but they are in fact a member of the Poverty Coalition, is the Fort McLeod Society for Kids First. I'm just going to have a sip here. And what that is a community development approach to poverty reduction in a community where we work with many parts of the community to develop programs, policies, supports, that sort of thing, for children in poverty. Very tough going, very slow. We started 5 years ago and brought stakeholders together and tried to get them to agree that poverty was an issue in Fort McLeod, that we wanted to take action and come up with some sort of a strategy. So we started out with the school feeding program and implemented that, received a lot of negative feedback from the community at first. Why should I feed other people's kids? And, you know, a lot of what I saw here in Lethbridge even at the beginning was it's their fault and the whole victim blaming thing. Since that time, we have worked with schools, community groups, church groups, everything. We now have the Fort McLeod Society for Kids First, which is a registered society. We have a volunteer board. We offer school breakfast and lunch programs in all three schools. We assist in community kitchens and skill building with low-income families and moms. We offer recreational subsidies for children and youth so they can participate in activities, recreational and extracurricular. We're working on cultural awareness. So as you can see, over the past 5 years, from that point where there was that victim blaming, we, through the work of building awareness and partnership, we have been successful. And we can't evaluate to see if there has been a reduction in poverty. We certainly know that many families have been affected in a positive way by the program. And in fact, some of the women that took the community kitchens course are now employed in the food service industry. The Cardston Community Project, I'm just starting out on that. As you can see from the data, there are some concerns in the Cardston area. Now, our data does include First Nations population. That's not to say the fault is there. It exists in both populations. They are more likely to be affected by poverty and the range of other effects. However, it is an issue that once you talk to the community there, it's not just the Aboriginal. So we'll be starting, like the project in Fort McLeod, I have no idea how it will turn out. My role is to facilitate as a resource to them, offer them advice on best practice, research, try to find them grants, things like that. So maybe in 5 years I'll have a good outcome to share with you about Cardston. I hope so. The Regional Food Security Project, that's another thing we've been working on. Heather Caldwell is here, and she's with the Good Food Co-op. That's one of the projects that we've supported in principle on occasion to get things going. And basically that is a co-op buying system of good food that anybody can join. And they've had phenomenal success. The Interfaith Food Bank on the north side has a community kitchen there and a partnership with family centers, so they offer family support and childcare and sort of a one-stop shopping at the food bank, which I think has been phenomenal as well. There has also been a number of school food security projects, be it school lunches, breakfast programs, cooking clubs, and things like that here in the city that have been successful. And last but not least, I'm just going to draw you to moving forward to the policy piece, but one of the things we did do was it became apparent to us in the coalition that ultimately if we are to change, make change, or impact social change for poverty, we would have to engage in something political or policy related. Now, we're down here in the South, and many of the policies are provincial in nature, in terms of things like welfare, SFI, or whatever it's currently called, child care, and allotted family services. Those decisions are made in Edmonton by our MLA. So what we decided was we really need to talk to others in the province who are concerned about poverty and social determinants of health. See if there's a common ground. Can we agree that we will work to address this issue collectively? Because if we have a campaign on affordable housing here in Lethbridge in January, and then they have one in May in Edmonton, forever it will be like this and will be lost on deaf ears. So what we did was we held a provincial conference entitled Reality Check in March of last year, where we had about 150 people. A third of them were researchers, a third of them were practitioners like myself, and a third of them were experienced people, i.e. those affected by poverty. And we had an intense 2 days. The outcome, we have the proceedings, was phenomenal, and it was a real landmark event in my mind of bringing together the real stakeholders in the project, because never before we had the academics talking about poverty over here, the practitioners over here, and usually we fail to include those most affected by the issue. So what we have been doing is working on to draft an Alberta charter on social and health equity, and we will be working to build on that capacity in Lethbridge and other cities across Alberta in the next while. Now to the interesting part. So politics and poverty, what do they have to do with each other other than what I've said? We know, based on international studies, that the best predictors of child poverty rates are the percentage of low-paid workers within a nation, or in our case, a province, levels of minimum wages, and percentage of national resources or revenues invested in social infrastructure. So if we're going to address public policy that is supportive, strong for low-income families, all families, and investment in children, so we don't have a huge debt related to child poverty in terms of social and human services, what do we need to do? Well, studies say that key investments in social development, of course, are those that will make a difference. Specifically, more money for low-income families, affordable housing and the creation of decent jobs with a higher minimum wage, universal, affordable early learning and child care. So I can't be partisan, but I did, out of curiosity, take a look at some of the platforms that I saw, and I went to the website of the leaders. And I just keyed in those words, child poverty, and tried to see what they have and what was, did they have something substantial, were there specific plans? The first person I keyed in was Jack Layton of NDP, and I see Melanie Thomas is here. So I looked to see, do they have specific plans that would address child poverty in effect? Well, yes, they do. Housing and homelessness, child care, and child poverty were all mentioned with specific action areas. Paul Martin with the Liberal Party, and Michael Cormacan is here as well. I did see affordable child care for all Canadian families. There was a mention of affordable housing, but there wasn't any, I couldn't find any specific strategy. And Stephen Harper with the PC Party mentioned a choice on child care. And there wasn't anything more specific than, I think, an allocation of $100 per child per family per month. So what can you do? Throwing it all back onto you now. I think what we need to do is ask questions of our candidates regarding their party and personal platform, We need to share information with others. A lot of people don't know about this stuff, and some of them choose not to know. But regardless, if you have children or whatever, these are the people, or the kids today, that are going to be growing up and working adults, contributing to your pension plan, to your health care, to all those services that you will need as an aging adult. So make your vote count. Vote with an aim to decrease child poverty, and make sure that you know what your candidate is willing to do. Thank you.
Thank you. Is the camera set?